Okay, we're going to look today at King Asa. Now, I'm not going to make this long, so I'll split it into three basic messages for Thursday night, and this week and next week and the week after. And tonight we'll begin with his period of rest. Next week we'll look at his conflict with Zerah. And then in the third week we'll look at his conflict with the king of Israel and the king of Syria. So first of all, let's turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 1 to 8. 今日はあの朝をの話をします。あの3回に分けて話したいと思います。あの朝王の話をあ、まあ、聖書の中では第1列王記15章と第2歴代史14、15章に書かれてますけど、今日はその最初の部分を読みます。彼の人生ではその安息の時があった、そしてゼラクとの敵対の時があった、それからそのイスラエルの王とそのシリアの王との敵対の時がありました。そして3つに分けてあの話します。今日は安息の時をあの話しましょう。 OK, so 今日は英語で始めるかな。 OK, alright, so looking at King Asa from 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we'll begin his period of rest. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Okay. Alright. 2 Chronicles 14:1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And his son, Asa, became king in his place. The land was undisturbed for 10 years during his days. Now, let's understand who we're talking about. There was Solomon, and then Solomon's son was Rehoboam. In Rehoboam's time, the kingdom split into Judah in the south and Israel in the north. And, of course, the king of the north was Jeroboam, and the king of the south was Solomon's son Rehoboam. Then Rehoboam died, and his son Abijah reigned after him. Jeroboam in the north lived quite a long time. He actually lived into the reign of Asa, Solomon's great-grandson. But Abijah, he didn't last so long. So Rehoboam was not so smart guy, and he wasn't such a good king. He was okay, but not so good. And Abijah was the same. He was just like his father. Outwardly religious, he at least kept up the temple, but in his generation they tolerated all kinds of high places, Asherah, idolatry throughout the land. So in a sense it was a bit like the Western countries today. You know, they had a history of righteousness and they allowed the truth, but they also allowed a lot of false worship as well without bringing it into bound. Nevertheless, then after him, this boy Asa was born. And in Asa's time, he had a period of peace. Then he had a period of war with a Cushite king. And then later on, he had a period of conflict with the king of Israel. But it begins with peace. And the Bible says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord his God. Verse 2, Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. For he removed the foreign altars and the high places. He tore down the sacred pillars and he cut down the Asherim. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. And of course that would mean putting to death those who didn't. Because if you were going to keep the law, you were going to put to death those who worshipped the false gods. So he really brought Israel by force back under the law of God, as was the job of the king. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah. Now the high places were the places where originally there were many high places. Samuel worshipped on a high place. The Joshua and in his generation they worshipped on high places. Up until the temple was built, that's where they worshipped. Unfortunately though, the high places became associated with false worship. They weren't necessarily false worship. They could have simply been places where, like churches, where people met and thought about God or taught the word of God. But that's how they should have been, but they weren't. Because what happened was they ended up putting up these idols up there, growing these trees in the shape of pillars, which were abominable, and they worshipped false gods in those places. Incense altars were places of false worship. And Solomon allowed it. Rehoboam allowed it. Abijah, they allowed these things. Okay. Finally, someone comes along who says, enough is enough. Let's get rid of them out of the land. And that's what Asa did. So he had 10 years of peace in which he was able to do these things and bring about these reforms. And he also removed... we read that in verse 5, yeah. Okay, in verse 6. He built fortified cities in Judah, since the land was undisturbed, and there was no one at war with him during those years, because the Lord had given him rest. For he said to Judah, let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we've sought the Lord our God. We've sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, bearing large shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, bearing shields and wielding bows. All of them were valiant warriors. Okay. All right, we'll just stop there at verse 8. So, notice he acknowledges the fact that it was God who had given him peace. It's repeatedly said, God gave him peace. In verse 6, because the Lord has given him rest. Verse 7, we have sought him and he has given us rest on every side. The thing that I notice here, which is very strong, is that regardless of the reasons that he had rest, he acknowledged that it was from God. There is a time of rest in everybody's life, and it's a time which is not random. It doesn't come just because of political events. It comes from God. There's also a time of conflict, which comes from God. There's also a time of intense pressure to compromise, and that comes from God as well. Everything comes from God. So right now, some of you may be in a time of rest. Some of you may be in a time of persecution. Some of you may be in a time where you feel pressured to compromise. These are the three things that the Bible emphasizes in the life of Asa. Tonight, we'll just look at the idea of rest. Some of you are at rest. Some of you are not. Some of you are thinking, well, that's not me. Well, it may not be you now, but it will be you one day. So what we need to do is understand how to live, how to react, what to do in these times when God gives us rest. And we'll get to that tonight. じゃあ、最初に、第2歴代史、14章を読みます。1節から8節を読みます。今日はエーサーの話をします。そしてエーサーはソロモンのひ孫です。ソロモンにはレホボアムという子供がいました。レホボアムはその国を失ってしまった。彼はそんなに賢く人ではないので、エレボアムは彼から10部族を、奪ってしまった。それも神様の御業だったけど、レアボアムのためにそれがなくなった。そして北イスラエルは結局廃墟をして神様を求めなかった。南イスラエルはある程度正しい道をそのまま歩いていた。彼らはその本当の神殿を守っていた。しかし彼らの時代に高いところと間違った礼拝の場所を保っていってしまった。 Okay, problem is I'm looking in one chronicles and not two chronicles. Okay, one day I'll get it. Here we are. Okay, そして一節、14章一節。アビアは彼の先祖たちと共に眠り、人々は彼をダビデの町に葬った。彼の子アサが代わって王となった。彼の時代にはこの地には10年の間平安を保った。じゃあ最初にアサは 最初の10年間に平和を保ったと書いています。そしてそれも神様の手から与えられた特別な貴重な時でした。アサの人生では3つの時が聖書の中で強調されている。最初は平安の時、そして平安にいる人がいるでしょう、ある人は平安を今感じている、他の人は今大変戦いの中に巻き込まれていると思います。他の人は迫害を受けているかもしれない。他の人は妥協するようにプレッシャーを感じています。しかしある人は今私たちの間でもいると思います。平安な時を今感じています。それぞれの時は神様の手からいただいているということをまず心に留めてください。あなたには今の状態は悪いではないよ。それは神様の御手から与えられているものだから、その中でどう行動したらいいかということだけを神様に求めれば大丈夫です。でも平安があるから大丈夫と思ってはならない、その時もちゃんとしなければならない。ちゃんとした生活がある、ちゃんとした歩み方がある。それも聖書は私たちに今教えようとしています。だから今日はその話をします。来週は迫害、その次は妥協を話しましょう。はい、じゃあ2節。朝は彼の神主が良いと認められること、御目にかなうことを行い、そしてレホボアムと、ソロモンが妥協して、レホボアムもある程度形だけで神様に求めていた。アビアもある程度形だけで神様を認めていた。ある程度は本当の信仰を示したけど、でもその自分が支配していた国の中に邪悪なものをいっぱい許しました。我慢しました。でそれを朝はやっと上がってきて対処しました。取り除きました。3節。一挙の祭壇と叩きところを取り除きましたと書いてます。柱を砕き、アシェラ像を打ち壊した。そういうことはもともと一番最初からバベルの時からじゃないかと思いますけど、彼らはその高いところで神様を礼拝しました。今でも高いところでもよく星を見えるということで、天に少し近いという感じがあると思います。しかし神様はイスラエルにそうじゃなくて、神様が定める高いところ、それは高きところ、それはエルサレムのシオン山で礼拝しなければならないということを定めました。しかしだからといって高きところは悪い、必ず悪いではない。そこでイエス様は弟子たちと共に座って、マタイ5章6章7章を解きました高いところでイエス様は弟子たちと共に神様を礼拝して、聖霊の力、神様の栄光を感じました。高いところは学び会、弟子たちはその3階の部屋みたいなところに集まってきた。だからそういうところでちょっと世から少し離れて神様に注目して、礼拝するために用いるのは悪くないけど、その中に、祭壇とか高能祭壇とか柱とか、柱は結局男の性的なものを表している木、その全ての枝を取って、それは異教の神々を礼拝するために用いられていました。だからそれはもう忌むべきものです。なんでソロモンがそれを許したでしょうか。でもありました。なんでレハボンとアビアがそれを、許したでしょう。朝は出てきてダメです、これを絶対に私の国には許してはならない。自分の人生もそうですね。自分の人生を誰が治めているでしょうか。 あなたは、あなたの霊はそれを治めるべきです。だからあなたにもそれを許してはならない。ね、あの高きところがあれば、ね、礼拝できるとき、あの聖書を読むときとか考えるときもありゆるありますけど、その中に偶像礼拝とあの忌むべき礼拝を許してはなりません。じゃあ、 あの朝はそれをあの取り除きました。そしてあの4節、それからユダに命じて彼らの不相の神主を求めさせ、その律法と命令をあの行わせた。まあもちろんそれはあの強制的にね、あのそう一教の神を礼拝する者は死刑でしたということでした。彼イスラエルの律法の中ではそれはもう本当に神様をのみを礼拝する法律を作りました。守りましたね。5節、さらに彼らはユダのすべての町々から高きところと高の台を取り除いた。こうして王国は彼らの前に平安を保った。また平安があると書いています。6節、彼らはユダにあの、防備の町々を築いた。当時数年の間その地は平安を保ち、また言われています。主が彼らに安息を与えられたので、彼らに戦いを挑む者はいなかったからである、また言われています。7節、彼はユダに向かってこう言った。さあ彼らの町々を建てようではないか。そしてその周りに城壁と櫓と門と貫抜きを設けよう。この地にはこの地はなおも私たちの前にある。私たちがあの私たちの神主を求めたからである。私たちが求めたところ神は周囲のものから守って私たちを安息をくださった、また言われています。こうして彼らはあの建設し繁栄した。そして8節では、あの朝はユダの大盾と槍を帯びる軍勢が300万、ベニヤミン、あのユダとベニヤミンが一緒だった。ベニヤミンの盾を持ち、あの弓を引く者が28万あって、これらすべてが勇士であった。さあ、あの、まあ、今日は主にこの平安の時は神様からあのせっかくあのくださっているものなので、あのぜひ平安の時に私たちはどうすればいいかを今日心にあの留めましょう。学びましょう。Okay. じゃあ、so what we're looking at then is how to live, how to react, how to be, how to worship, how to prepare ourselves in a time of peace. God gives people peace at certain times. He doesn't always give people peace, and people don't always have peace. But there are times when God gives peace, and He gives peace for particular reasons.First of all, let's look at the political reasons that they had peace. One of them was, turn back a little bit to 2 Chronicles 13, just probably the previous page, in verse 16 to 20. 2 Chronicles 13, 16 to 20, talks about the time of Asa's father. Now, it says... 16 to 20. When the sons of Israel fled before Judah, God gave them into their hand. Abijah, that's Asa's father, and his people defeated them with a great slaughter, so that 500,000 chosen men of Israel fell slain. Thus the sons of Israel were subdued at that time, and the sons of Judah conquered, because they trusted in the Lord, the God of their fathers. Abijah pursued Jeroboam and captured from him several cities, Bethel with its villages,Jeshanah with its villages, and Ephraim with its villages. Jeroboam did not again recover strength in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. So the first thing we notice there is that it was Asa's father's faith that had caused politically this 10 years of peace to come. It was not because of anything that Asa had done. It was because of what had been done before him, before his time. Now, this is interesting because he was not such a good king. The Bible says that he didn't do what was right in the sight of God. He was like his father who had allowed all this compromise. And yet, there had been a time of faith, say a revival period in their history, and the effect of that had still continued. Now, in a sense, that's the same with us today, right? We in the Western Church, and Japan is kind of like the Western Church, have peace because, not because of our righteousness or because of our zealous prayer or because of our faith, but simply because of the generations in the past who have given us this condition. Right? Other countries don't have it. Other countries, the Christians are facing terrible difficulties. In India, for example, Christians get persecuted very badly. In Vietnam, you know, terrible persecution. There's many places in the world where Christians have terrible persecution. They're not in a period of rest. We are. Secondly, if we have a look at 1 Kings chapter 15, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 15. In 1 Kings 15, we're kind of skipping to a later time in Asa's life here, but we're just going to read one chapter, one passage here. 1 Kings 15. Verse 16 to 22. Okay, it says here, then Asa issued an order, all order to all Judah. No one was exempt, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using there. And with them, King Asa built up Geba in Benjamin and also Mizpah. Was that what I wanted to read? Just a second. Wasn't what I was actually wanting to read. Sorry, just a second. That was not what I was wanting to read. Let's go back to verse 19. That was what I was looking for. Verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 19. This is what Asa said to the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. Let there be a treaty between me and you, he said, as there was between my father and your father. See, I am sending you a gift of silver and gold. Now, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. Okay, notice that he broke the treaty that he had with Israel, and he kept a treaty which he had had with his father. So Asa's father, Abijah, had made a treaty with Assyria, and he was drawing on that good relationship that Israel had with a wicked nation. Right? We also see that in the time that, in verse 33, if you look at verse 33, in the third year of King Asa, of king of Judah, Baasha, son of Abijah, became king of all Israel in Tirzah, and he reigned 24 years. Okay, and just before that, he had killed Nadab, the son of Jeroboam. And so the northern kingdom, in the second year of Asa, Jeroboam died, his son Nadab came to power, and then Baasha killed him. So you had this political crisis in the north. The political crisis where the kingdom of Jeroboam was being given into the hand of a new rebel king, Baasha. And so that's the reason politically why Asa had peace. There were three reasons. First, because the faith of his father in causing Jeroboam's power to be stopped. So he had peace. Secondly, because of a treaty which his father had made with Syria. That would have had some influence on it. And thirdly, because there was a political crisis in the north, and while they were so busy killing each other, they weren't worried about killing the people in Judah. Right? None of these things are good things, are they? Except maybe the first one, although it was only a very temporal faith. But certainly a treaty with a foreign king, and anarchy in the north. None of these things are good, and yet these are the things that God used to give peace to Asa. Why do we have peace? Is it really because, you know, our countries are so much better than other countries? No, not at all. It, you know, if I look at England, where my family comes from, England went to every country they could and exploited them. You know, we went around the world and we enslaved people, we took them slaves from one country to another, we saw nations simply as ways of making money. We did some good things in history, but we've done a lot of bad. You know, in Australia we killed all the Aborigines. In America, they tried to kill off a lot of the Indians. In California, they had a price on every Indian's head. Is that good? No, it's not good. Did it give a period of peace to the church today? Yes. So what we can say is the peace doesn't necessarily come because history was good. It doesn't necessarily come because we're good. It comes because God wanted to give us peace right now. Okay, peace is an important thing. Someone said very many times, what is peace? And it was quoted, I forget who exactly it was who said it, but it was a famous quote. Peace is a period of preparation and planning between two wars. That's what peace is. So there's a time of peace between wars, but what is it for? It's for planning and preparation, right? Well, that's true, and that's what peace is for us, right? Peace is a time of planning and preparation before the next battle. So if you're in a time where things are just going smoothly and you have what you need and everything's provided and, you know, things seem to be good, you're not facing battles here, you're not facing battles there, don't just relax and think, oh, everything's all right now, I can just cruise. No way. This is a very strategic point in life. Many people died so that Asa could have these 10 years of peace. Countries went to war so that Asa could have these 10 years of peace. Don't waste that time. That's a very important time. What did he do in those 10 years? Well, we'll get to that in a second. Okay. じゃあ、あの、ちょっと、の続きをします。はい。そして、あの、アサ王はこの10年間の平安をあの保ちました。で、なんでその平安がその時に彼に与えられたということをあの見ましょう。最初は、第一列王記13章を見てください。第一列王記13章はあの16節から20節を、読みます。2 Chronicles 13:16Okay. こうしてイスラエル人はユダの前から逃げ去り、神はこの人々を彼らの手に渡された。アビアとその民は彼らを、おびただしくあの撃ち殺した。その結果イスラエルのうちあの50万が殺され倒れた。あのイスラエル人はこの時あの征服され、ユダ人はあの勝利を得た。彼らがその不相の神主により頼んだからである。まあそれはね、特別なリバイバルだった。その影響が次の世代に及びました。アビアはそのヨルボアムの後を追い、ベテルとそれに属するあの村落あのエッシャナとそれに属する村落、エフラインとそれに属する村落など、いくつかの町々を彼らから取った。こうしてヨロボアムはアビアの時代にはもはや力をあのとどめておくことがなかできなかった。主が彼を撃たれたので、あの彼は死んだ。そしてあのアサはお父さんの勝利の影響を受けました。神様はその朝の時代の準備をするために、あのお父さんの時代に小さなリバイバルを与えた。そしてあの朝はその影響を受けました。でも次にあの第一列王記15章を読めば、第一列王記15章、そしてあのもう一つのことが出てきます。あのここでは 朝がまだ若い時にどうなったでしょう。まあ、33節でも読みましょう。ユダの朝の第3年にアヒアの子バーシャが、ティルツァで全イスラエルの王となった。治世は24年。まあ、そのちょっと前に、そのバーシャは28節を読めば、こうしてバーシャはユダの王アサの第3年に彼を殺し、彼に代わって王となった。エルボアムの子ナダブをバーシャは殺した。そして政権を奪い取った。まあ、政治的な革命が北の国にありました。そして彼らは互いに殺し合いしながら、結局ユダをほっといた。そのためにもユダには平安を保ちました。で、もう一つは同じ章で19節、その時にバーシャとアサの時代に戦いの中で、バーシャは、まあ、彼はだいぶ後で出てきた話ですけど、彼はそのシリアのベン・ハダドの助けを求めた。で、19節では、私の父とあなたの父上の間にあったように、私とあなたの間に同盟を結びましょうと書いてます。だから明らかに朝の父アヒアはベン・ハダドと契約を結んでいた。その政治的な力は悪いことですけど、でもそのためにもユダはその平安を感じ、あ、まあ、持っていたに違いない。まあ、当てはめるとどうでしょう。その理由は悪いね。原因が悪い。もう政治的な革命が起こりながら、多くの人が暗殺されたり、そして結局ユダが平安を持ちました。前に悪い国と妥協だあのするような契約を結ばれたために、朝はある程度の政治的な平安を持っていた。それは悪い原因けど、とにかく神様は朝にその10年間の平安を与えるのはそれほど大事なことでした。まあ、現代の教会どうでしょう。すべての教会は同じ状態にあるわけではない。黙示にいろいろな教会にいろいろな性格、特徴があるというのは、今、現代にいろいろな状態にある教会があるということを表してますけど、でも、まあ、西洋の教会は主に今、平安を保っている。そして、それは私たちの信仰が強いとか、私たちは熱心に祈っているとか、そうではなくて、それはだいぶ前に、全然私の影響と関係なく、前に政治的に神様はこの、まあ、経済的な力をイギリスとか、そういう、ね、時代によって違うけど、時代によってある国に反映させて、その影響がまだあります。イギリスは多くの奴隷を取って他の国に売買しました。それは絶対ダメなことだけど、神様はそれを用いた。そして現代に教会は結局平安を保っている。残念なことです。申し訳ないなことです。だけど、まあ、神様は全てを裁きます。しかし結局その結果、私たちはなんと平安があります。そしてその平安の時代にどうしましょう どうしましょう、どのように行動しましょう。もう本当にせっかくに与えられているから、用いましょう。ある人は、このように言います。平安は何でしょう。それは2つの戦争の間の次の戦いのための準備のための時です だから、まあ、その通りです。次の戦いのために今用意しなければなりません。そして今からその最後にこの用意は何でしょうということ。じゃあ let's finish off here just quickly with the kind of preparation that King Asa did during his time of peace. First of all, let's look at Acts chapter 9:31. very much out of the conversation, but it's just a parallel here that I'd like to turn to. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Right after the persecution of Paul, the persecution of Saul, and right at the time where God gave the church a great new vision to take the gospel to the Gentiles, right at that time, we see Acts chapter 9, verse 31. And it says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it continued to increase." During that time, now the very next verse says, "Now as Peter." And that's a very important verse, because this begins the section where the gospel was taken to the Gentiles. And that's the reason that we are born again today, because now as Peter, he took the gospel to the Gentile centurion, I forget what his name, Cornelius, that's right. So this began the preaching of the gospel to the world. That's the reason God gave them peace at that time, so that they could concentrate on a new vision. But it was just after a terrible time of persecution with King Saul. Okay, so peace is something very important, but peace cannot be misused. Peace must be used, right? It was a time of what? Enjoying peace, yes, but being built up. It was a time of going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit and increase. Well, that was the same in the time of Asa. During his 10 years of peace, what did he do? Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. What did he do in that time? Verse 6, he built fortified cities in Judah. Verse 7, he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we've sought the Lord our God." And then we see that he had a phenomenal army, 300,000 people from Judah, 280,000 people from Benjamin. Sorry, the people from Judah were heavily armed. They had spears for close contact battle. They had very large shields. The people from Benjamin were very different. They had slings, bows, and they had small shields. They stood at a distance. They didn't get too close. They have a different fighting style. Some go into the battle very close, others stay away. In today's church, it's the same. Some people go into the front lines of evangelism. Other people pray. Other people look after the camp. Other people do their ministries. We have researchers. We have people who run the website. We have different kinds of ministries. Some are in the heat of the action. Some are a little bit separated. But they're all very important, right? They're all very important. The time of peace is for each individual person to find out what is it exactly that God wants me to do and begin to train. Now, 10 years of training in the army with no battles. You know, imagine training in a sports team for 10 years and not having a match to play. You'd think you'd give up. No, they didn't give up. And we have to understand that 10 years, I mean, you know, when you're old, 10 years doesn't seem like a very long time. When you're young, 10 years seems like a long time. And it is a long time, but it's enough time. Just enough time to train. Just enough time to get the skills that you need. Just enough time to prepare yourself for this horrible battle, which is coming right up in verse 9, when an Ethiopian comes out with 1 million people to fight against them. What did they do? They built fortified cities. They put towers and gates and bars. Now, if you look at the verse 10, it says, "Asa went out to meet them, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephatha at Mareshah." Now, these words are important. Mareshah is a word which means a high place, but it's actually the word head. And when you put it in the plural, it's the word principality or dominion, okay? This principality suddenly has been released and it's coming against them. This power of 1 million, who could possibly stand against them, is coming from out of nowhere against them. Who is it? We'll talk about that next week. But the point of it is, there are powers that are coming out. There are things that are beyond our control, things that are beyond our physical strength, and they're coming soon. dominions, powers, principalities, things that we can't deal with in our own strength. Well, what was the place that they went into battle formation? Zephatha. This comes from the word Zephana, and it means Zaphan is a watchtower. Okay, obviously, on a hill you put a watchtower. It's a place to watch and see all around you, a strategic location. So, let's build up the cities, let's fortify them, let's train the people individually in their own way, and let's get to the watchtower. That's the way in which we prepare ourselves in a time of peace. Very quickly, after the repenting had been done, obviously that's how it begins, getting rid of the false worship and this kind of thing. Strengthening the buildings, right? What is your ministry? Strengthen it. You need to understand more of God's word, right? You may not need it now, but the time is coming when you will. Our friend, good friend, Pauli, is in Spain until yesterday, and he was in a mission conference in Spain with the Finnish people and some Spanish people. It's a mission conference, and I said, "What did you teach there, Pauli?" And he said, "Well, in the afternoon, we did using the Book of Acts as a handbook for evangelism." I said, "Okay, that's good." And in the mornings, we did the origin of the Hebrew Bible and the various manuscripts. And I thought, wow, that's such a difference. Right? In the morning, we're doing how he was talking about the various manuscripts of Hebrew Bible and how the Hebrew Bible came to pass. And, you know, I guess he went back to time of Moses and cuneiform and, you know, all kinds of different things. The Masoretic text and all these things. And I said, wow, well, I said, I know that's very important, and I'm sure it'll be a great blessing to them sometime. I hope they followed it. And he said, well, it was actually all new to them. None of them understood a thing. But it's so important. It's not important to them now while they're sitting there in Spain drinking coffee in their little, you know, cafe and thinking about their life as a missionary. But soon, when they get onto the mission field and they begin to apply the word of God to the people and the culture that they're in, that sort of thing's going to be very important. Now, you may not think, you know, studying Hebrew is going to help your day to day, but it is going to help you in time, right? A time of peace is a time to hone your skills. It's a time to make the most of the opportunity. Because you know what? When the time of battle comes, you're not going to be studying Hebrew. Since my fifth child was born, I haven't studied Hebrew. There's no time. Too many nappies to change. Too many other things to do. Right? You've got a short time where you can learn that kind of stuff. Once the time is finished, forget it. Right? There's a time that you've got in when you have peace. Learn. Make the most of your opportunity. If you have the chance, you know, and if it's something that you feel is necessary and important, learn it. Right? Learn. I really wish when I was younger, when I had a lot more time, that I had have learnt Hebrew and Greek. It would have given me much firmer foundation, because, you know, later in life you just don't get that time anymore. Nevertheless, there are other things. Apologetics, learning how to defend your faith, understanding a little bit about science and evolution, understanding a little bit about the history of the church. These things are things to study when you're at rest. The watchtower, watching yourself, watching other people, building up. It says in James chapter 1 and verse 20 to 23, he says, "Therefore, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and watch out for your brothers. You know, you might be saving some from the fire and snatching others away. I better read it. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love. Keep yourself and wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Build yourselves up and watch. Watch yourself. Keep yourself in the love of God." It's easy to fall away from the love of God. by thinking too much about something else, right? Thinking too much about money, thinking too much about your job, thinking too much about rugby or skateboarding or, you know, whatever the other things are that I get flung about this way and that way in my thoughts. You know, there's many, many things. Sometimes you can give in to the lust for business success. Sometimes you can give in and just spend hours thinking about you know, just glorifying yourself by imagining yourself playing some sport or, you know, doing some, you know, going shopping in an amazing place or holidays or whatever. There's always something that's going to get you off the daily walk and the daily fellowship with God. Watch yourself. You've got to watch yourself and watch other people too. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. Learn what you can in a time of peace. And pay attention that in a time of peace, unlike Solomon, you don't allow the idols to come in and flourish. Right? When you're struggling before God, it's easy to say, all right, come on, let's get rid of everything wrong so we can be honest before God and get his help. But when everything's going right, it's easy to just put up and tolerate these things. Time of peace is very important. It's been given by God. People have gone to war and died so that we could have a time of peace. It's a time for building up. Prayer. Finding out, what is it that God wants me to do? It's a time for preparing different people in different ministries. You can't learn everything. Keep that relationship with the Holy Spirit active so that you know exactly what he's leading you to do. And then give it all you've got so that you prepare yourself, because it won't be long and this period of peace will be over. It's only a very short time. In fact, in 1 Kings it says that Baasha and Asa were at war all their days, even though he had a 10-year period. After that it was just war. Okay. Is not this thing in my life now becoming an idol? That's the question you need to ask yourself about 3 times a day. Maybe it's the Facebook. Maybe it's the stock market. Maybe it's the TV. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's an idol. Maybe you need to deal with it. Maybe you need to honestly ask yourself that question. And if it's not an idol, then it's not going to be any problem to ask yourself the question, is it? Okay, watch yourself. じゃあ最後にどのように平安の時に用意をしましょうということで、じゃあまず、以外に使徒働き9章31節を読みます。That'll be the last one. So we'll just finish with this Japanese. 人働き9章は面白い。31節はそのサオルによる迫害、熱心な迫害がやっと終わりました。そして31節で、ごめん、違う聖書を話してしまった。日本語の方ね。9章31、その迫害がやっと終わった時にこうして教会はユダ、ガリラやサマリアの全地に渡り築き上げられていて、平野の保ち主を恐れ賢み精霊に励まされて、前進し続けたので、信仰の数、すみません、信者の数が増えていった。その平安の時に教会が築き上げられた、精霊に導かれた、信者を増やした、平安を利用しました。でその次の箇所はなんと素晴らしいでしょう。さてペトロはあらゆるところを巡回したが、そしてルダに住む生徒たちのところへも下っていた。そして彼は異邦人に福音を伝える幻を受けました。そして私たちもその影響で救われるようになりました。この平安の時に迫害がやっと終わって、神の手による平安がありました。そしてすぐに次の戦いの準備が すでに始まっていた。新しい幻を受けるようになりました。じゃあ立て上げられる、気づき上げられること、そして朝の人生にもそうでした。また第二歴代史14章を戻ってみましょう。この悔い改めのところが終わった。高いところとか高きところとか高の台とかを取り除いて、そして6節、彼はユダに防備の町々を築いた。7節、彼はユダに向かってこう言った。さあこれらの町々を建てようではないか。そしてその周りに城壁と櫓と門と貫抜きを設けよう。その時に、その平安の時に彼は安らかにしてはなく、しなかった。怠けなかった。彼は準備をしました。その町々を強くした。そして、8節で朝にはユダの大盾、ユダの大盾と櫓を帯びる軍勢が30万。ベニヤミンの盾を持ち、弓を引く者が28万あって、これらすべては勇士であった。ユダの人たちの方は槍を持っていた。彼らは近いところに入ってきて、短時間、なんという短距離の戦いをしましたね。そしてベンジミンは違って、ベンジミンは遠くから弓を持って弓矢で戦いました。ユダには大盾を持っていた。ベンジミンには小さい盾を持っていた。それぞれの戦い方が違う。それぞれの戦いの文化が違う。それぞれの奉仕は大事です。そして今教会はどのような平安を感じている、教会はどのような準備をしましょう。まず作ること、自分その町々を作ること、自分の聖書の知識に成長しましょう。もともと聖書はどこから出てきた、どのように書かれている、どのように解釈する、今は学ぶ時です平安を感じている時に時間が余裕ですから、それを学びましょう。次の戦いに入るとその余裕がなくなるから、もう勉強する時間がなくなります。ある時に使いましょう。ヘブライ語とかを学ぶ余裕があれば、すごく貴重な機会です。しかしね、子供が増えたらもうおむつを替える時間が増えるそしてどうで、もうなかなかできないようになります。でしようと思ったら、11時ぐらいに家に帰ったら、ちょっとマクドに寄ってちょっと半分寝ながらヘブライ語を学ぼうとしてももったいないそれをスタムにはしますけど、ほとんどホゼアが生まれてからもう全然進んでない。その時が過ぎ去った、しょうがない。もっとね、若い時にもっと勉強したらよかったと思います。皆さん、平安の時を楽しみましょう。だけど使いましょう、ね、怠けてはなりません。この間パオリは、今週、昨日までスペインにいました。で帰ってトミの結婚式に行きますけど、そのスペインで宣教の会合で話しました。Facebook で何の話をしましたかと言った。で、2つしましたって言いました。夜は、宣教の手本として、使徒働きを持ちました。宣教師の手本として使徒の働きを学びました。でも朝は、ヘブライ聖書の由来、写本とか解釈とか、もう多分くさび型の文字とかいろいろなことをしました。で、みんな通じましたか？で、彼はいや、みんなは初めてですある人は多分ね、それを聞いて、なんで新しい若い熱心な宣教師はそんな話を聞くでしょうという。 しかし今はね、あのカフェでコーヒーを飲みながら、これからの方針、どこの国に行くか、そういうことを考えながら、確かにね、くさび型の文字とか知る必要はないかもしれないけど、でも本当に自分の宣教師 の畑に行ったら、その文化に御言葉を当てはめようと思ったら、その知識は本当に貴重です。本当に必要です。だからまあ、イスラムの人と討論するときとか、聖書を弁明するときとか、クリスチャン の新しい弟子たちの質問に答えるために、そういう質問が必ず出てきます。だから安息の時にそれを学ぶしかない。まちまちを強くする。14章の第二歴代史の14章の次の話に出てきますけど、まず9節では、時が経ってクシュ人ゼラフが100万の軍勢と300台の戦車を引いて彼らに向かって出陣し、マレーシャにまで寄せてきた。そしてマレーシャにあるセファテの谷で戦いを備えをした。マレーシャというところとセファテというところ、マレーシャという意味は高いところで、それはまあ丘みたいなところ。そしてそこから強い、まあ、やぐらを立って、そして見回る。でセファタというところは物見の塔という意味で、そこから敵が来ないかを見張るところ。しかしマレシャという言葉は聖書に出てくるなんていう天にある力ということ。だからダニエル書に天の力と戦っているとか、そういう話題によく出てきます。この地上に私たちが見えないけど、もうなかなか自分の力によっては対処できないような力が天にあります。どうか対処するでしょう。そのような強いところ、まあある国にはアルコール、ある国には、ね、昔からの憎しみ、ある国にはそれぞれの問題がなかなか解決できない、その上に天にある力が確かにある。でそれはそのマラショート、その複数形ですけど、同じ言葉です。だから私たちはもうちょっとしたらそういう力にと戦うようになる。今は準備すると、必ずしも自分の肉に頼ってはそれに勝てません。今は準備です。どのように準備する？物見の塔を建てますそれは自分を見るために、それは他の人を見るために、それぞれの戦い方があります。それぞれのクリスチャンの奉仕があります。あなたには何が必要でしょうか？どのような知識を増やせばいい？どのようなどのような訓練をすればいい、ね、10年間試合がないとなかなかね、練習は続けないでしょう。怠けるかもしれないけど、怠けてはならない。いきなり100万人率いている軍隊が出てくるとどうするでしょう。今は学ぶチャンスです。今は自分の信仰を強くするチャンスぜひ用いましょう。ヤコブには聖霊によって祈ること、ヤコブ20節を見ましょう。しかし愛する人々よ、あなた方は自分の持っている最も良い信仰の上に自分自身を築き上げ、自分自身を築き上げ、聖霊によって祈り、神の愛のうちに自分自身を保ち、それは自分の働きでしょう、永遠の命に至らせる私たちの主イエス・キリストの憐れみを持ち望みなさい。そして、まあ、他の人をよく見て 適切に対処する、あの奉仕する、助けることも導かれる。自分で神様の愛に保てる。自分ではやっぱり安息の時に自分の中に何がダメなことを自分で見ないとダメです。本当に試練の時にそれがすぐに出てきますけど、安息の時にはなかなか許します。ソロモンは許しました。私たちは許してはならない、ね、今こそ自分に自分の性格を見て、自分の生活を見て、偶像がないか、敵を入らせてないか、これはちょっと考えすぎじゃないか、そのような考え方は神様に本当に信頼しているでしょうか。いつまでもお金のことを考えたら、仕事のことを考えたら、それはなかなか神様に信頼してない証拠じゃないですか。特に他の人についてそればっかり話している人には、それは神様に頼ってないことを伝えているそれか、この趣味のことをそればっかり考えていると、話していると、それは偶像になってないか。今はその自分の信仰を強くして自分をよく見張る時です。まあせっかく安息の時が与えられている、今は一般的に教会はそれを楽しんでいます。ぜひ怠けてはならない。これを利用して次の戦いが来ると、私たちはこの 準備を必要としますから。 OK、 じゃあありがとうございます。そして来週はそのゼラフとの戦いをもうちょっと、考えます。はい、じゃあ祈りましょう。天の父様、ありがとうございます。どうか、私たちも私たちの中に安息を今保てる人もいます。みんなそうではないけど、どうかその人たちをよく準備してください。ぜひ怠けないで、私たちは熱心に自分の準備、安息、御霊の賜物を続いていて成長できますように助けてください。ありがとうございます。本当に次の戦いの練習をよくできるように助けてください。安息の時も本当に感謝します。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。